Have you checked out Substack?
I have not.
You need to look at Substack because I'm kind of, you know, a nerd about reading a bunch of stuff, and there's a lot of stuff on Substack. Unfortunately, you got to pay for it, but I'm all about the Silver Bulletin right now. Nate Silver, who did 538.com.
Okay.
You know, he's predicting the presidency, and he says that, let's see, what does he say? Trump's going to win.
Oh, really?
That's what he says. You sound very quiet to me today.
Do I?
You do. I think you're too far away from your microphone.
Okay. How about this? Is that better?
Oh, it is. It's much better. What kind of microphone do you have?
A Shure.
Is it one of those that has a light? If you touch the light, it goes off.
Yes, and it is so sensitive.
Yeah, I have one of those too, but you know, it's kind of packed in a box right now. It's my travel mic.
Oh, see, you know, I have gotten to the point to where if I'm not like here or in the studio, I'm like, I can't record a podcast.
That's a bad thing. You know, I think I did a podcast when I was in Montana at the, you know, in the fifth wheel.
So I know. I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. I appreciate my setups, both in my office and the studio, so much that I'm like, this is where I have to be. Cause it's like, I'm in the mode, you know?
You're in the mode.
Yeah.
You're in the mode. Okay. Well, there you go. You're in the mode.
Yeah.
Well, it's always good to have the mic. I mean, you can't really do it off just a computer. It just doesn't give you the mode. It's a bad feeling.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, we probably ought to say, welcome to Stock Talk. You want to cue the intro?
Yeah, let's cue the intro.
All right. Cue the intro. And we're back. yeah. Okay. So this is a wild one. Let's see. We've been stood up. Let's just get that out there right now. We have been stood up for this podcast episode, but we're only stood up for a short period of time and we're going to get him brought back. But Sean Brooke, we're talking about you, brother. We're talking about you. You stood us up, but we're going to have you back, I think, next week. So that'll be a lot of fun.
He made me feel really unimportant because he was like, standing us up.
I'm stuck in a field day. I can't be there. Like, oh, well, dude, come on.
Yeah, come on, Sean. You're actually working.
Apparently he is, which is, you know, not what I expect out of Sean. Sean just acts like he has a good time all the time. But, you know, clearly he's out there doing some work. And, you know, we just got an email from a group in Canada that wants to come to the IFSS annual conference that we're going to work with to get down here. And that's some exciting stuff. And the first thing in it was Sean Brooke said I should contact you. So, you know, we can make fun of Sean, but also give Sean some respect for helping out IFSS and all that stuff. That's a good
deal. And we can forgive him for standing us up.
Yeah, especially if he comes back on and we have lots of, you know, lots of fun when we're talking through everything else. What are we talking about today?
Registration's open. We have, you know, Greenleaf Winterfest in the beginning. We have, you know, the amazing IFSS conference, which is my favorite part because I'm biased. And then we have Inari bookending us on the end. And all of that's within the registration site. You got the agenda. You got the keynotes. You got the breakout speakers. You got everything we're doing. We're having a casino night on the last night.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about the casino night. And I'm bringing my tux. I'm going to wear a tux at the casino.
Good, good. Are you going to wear like a, what do they call them? The Rat Pack hats.
Fedora.
Oh, yeah. Fedora.
No. Well, I do have a good, nice white fedora, but I'm not going to wear that. I'm just going to wear a tux. Going to have my black tux.
We should do a vote on whether you should wear the fedora or not. And this is a yes for me.
Okay. Well, you know, my head is all about being covered by hats. I mean, that is a thing. It's a good thing to do. But, you know, as we put it to the IFSS population previously. You know, Todd wearing a hat is totally mixed. We tried that at Tucson and it was like 50-50. You know, people appreciated my hat. Other people thought, really? You look like a dummy.
But you're supposed to dress for yourself, not for anybody else.
That's true. But, you know, it was a cowboy hat. And let's face it. You know, I got accused of being all hat, no cows. So, you know, which hurt my feelings. I do have some cows. Not many, but I have a few. So I have some cows. You know, it's not like I'm a big cattle man, but I do have some cows. I know, and I have fed cows and I have taken care of cows. And in the dark of winter for South Arkansas, that's not really like the real dark.
Growing up on a cattle farm, did you wear a cowboy hat?
I have to admit, I did not.
Interesting.
I did not wear any hat. I was hatless. My dad wore a hat. My grandfather wore a cowboy hat. My dad did not wear a cowboy hat. He either wore a cap or a big old, he wore straw hats a lot in the field.
Yeah.
But now my grandfather always wore a cowboy hat. He did. He would go to Washington to lobby on behalf of the dairy industry, and he wore his cowboy hat, his Stetson. I had it for years. I don't have it anymore, but I had it for years. My grandfather had a little bitty small head, though. I mean, amazing. He had a 6 7/8 inch head. Now, you compare that with this noggin that is almost 7.5. And I mean, you know, the hat was like a Charlie Chaplin hat that didn't come all the way down on my head.
Nice.
I don't know how my grandfather had such a small head, but he did. But he also had a ponytail and a goatee in the 60s. He was super cool.
Oh, that does sound cool. You know,
little head, but, you know, had a ponytail. When he got pissed off, no kidding, got pissed off, when his local barber took the prices of haircut up in 1968 and decided to let his hair grow out. And so till the day he died, he had a ponytail halfway down his back.
Oh my gosh.
He was a character. There's a picture of him and Lyndon Johnson together after Johnson was out of the presidency, with him and his, you know, goatee, white goatee, and his long ponytail.
That's hilarious.
He's a hoot. He was a hoot. Okay. So, you know, let's talk a minute about the annual conference. Okay. So registration's open.
Yep.
Got a lot of stuff happening. It is early this year, which is really important, January 5th through 8th. That the important aspect is it's open now. We're going to close registration like, what, December 16th? Is that December our close 6th. Date?
It's December 6th.
No, so, no, yeah, no.
I will tell you exactly what it says on our website, so everyone's in the know here. Also, something very important to notate, okay? Yes, yeah. Cutoff date is December 6th.
Yeah, we gotta extend that. I thought we were doing the 16th. The hotel said 16th.
I'll talk to Colleen, but something very important to note, okay?
Yep.
We're early, so cutoff dates are going to be earlier than normal.
Right.
So that's especially important for sponsors who are, you know, doing activations or venue branding or anything like that, because a lot of times, you know, ASTA's in December, so we will have our sponsors focus on ASTA, and then immediately after they'll be like, okay, this is what we want to do at IPSA. We don't have that luxury this year. So we really need to make sure we have all of our commitments, you know, prior to ASTA. So that's something that, you know, everyone needs to keep in mind. And then another thing, we obviously have our room block at the hotel for our dates. We do have the group rate 3 days post and prior to the conference, but rooms are not guaranteed. So hotel booking is important too, if you want to stay before or after.
Get in early, get it done. And so make sure that you're registering early. We've already had several people that have come in and registered since we opened up everything when the newsletter came out, which is exciting. But yeah, I think the thing is remember it's early this year. The last few years, we've been more like the second or third week of January. We're going back to what I consider kind of that traditional IPSA time frame, first week. So it is right after New Year's. Get out there to Indian Wells, get booked in. Don't wait is the thing, because really and truly, we've got it on the 6th right now. I hope we can push it a little bit more. This is about hotel. Hotel will want registration closed. usually a month in front, which has put us in the six. I hope we can push it back a little bit further.
Colleen usually is pretty good about getting some more leeway with that. But as a safety thing, just in case, we've put the sixth.
Right. So what are we planning? I am very excited about our main keynote speaker, Chris Voth. Jesus, it'd be good if I got it right. and it's funny, you know, he is a former FBI negotiator. You can't find a lot about him on the internet because they've got his keynotes and everything pretty locked down. He has a company called the Black Swan Group, and they teach negotiation skills all over the country. And he wrote a book, you know, about his advice on negotiating and some of his experiences and, you know, don't divide the difference or you can't divide the difference. And, you know, which I think is really cool. And, you know, I've always looked at negotiation skills as one of those things that you need to develop in every aspect of your life. And being able to have Chris come in and do a keynote, talk to us about negotiation skills and some of the art of negotiating. It's really important because if, you know, whether we're dealing in everyday business, in our personal lives, whatever, there's always that whole thing of being able to negotiate effectively for a win-win outcome. It's not about, you know, somebody losing and you doing better than them in my mind. It's about getting everybody into a point that everybody feels good about what you've agreed to.
Yeah.
And particularly in business.
We'll have some of his books too, won't we? That's the one
So we will have it. We will have his books there. He is going to sign those in advance for us so that we can be able to get those to the folks that want to be able to have those books. So that's going to be a really exciting speaker. Matter of fact, I think that looking at him, I would put my expectations on him, which I'm always a little bit guarded to say something like that. But my expectations for Chris are probably about as high as we've had for any speaker that we've ever had. He was hard to come by. He was not inexpensive, but the topic I think is pertinent to every person that attends our conference. I think they will walk away from that feeling like they have grabbed something new in negotiation skills that they can learn with. And of course, you know, my favorite term for negotiation is, oh my God, come on,
I know,
Catherine.
I was gonna get it. I was going to say something though. I was going to say, you said he wasn't inexpensive and you're right. However, you did negotiate a good deal with the Ultimate Negotiator to get him at IPSA. So yeah, that was impressive.
We did negotiate. I think that's just part of their stick. You know, here's what we're doing. And well, can we get some free books? Can we get this? Can we get that? And then they negotiate down and make you feel good about him being there. So yes,
win-win.
I think it's a win-win. I think at the end of the day, they actually made me feel good about it, but that's part of their thing to, you know, sucker you in. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Way to deflect. You're still, the pressure's on. What's my favorite negotiating book?
I cannot remember.
We've talked about this.
We've talked about it twice.
No, we've talked about it hundreds of times. No. BATNA.
Yeah, I knew it was some type of is it acronym? But for whatever reason, my mind was going to EBITDA, which is not related at all.
No, it's not EBITDA. Earnings before interest and taxes and depreciation. No, it's not that. BATNA, best alternative to no agreement.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, you're BATNA. That's awesome.
I want you to ask him about that because I want you to be like, is this solid advice? And he's going to be like, no, that's crap advice.
I'm not going to ask him for that very reason. I have been resting my negotiation skills on this literally for 15 years. Uh-huh. And from another class I went to, and I was told, always know your BATNA, know your opponent's BATNA. And it's like, okay. And now I'm probably going to say, hey, Chris, what do you think about BATNA? What the hell is that? it'll be devastating. You know, it'll be devastating. So anyway.
Great.
Please don't. Looking forward to Chris. What about our other speaker?
So we've got Chris Voth. We actually are going to have Sean Hackett on the main stage this year.
Which is awesome because we keep having Sean in breakouts, and son of a gun, we have, they're always standing room only. So we're going to put him on the main stage, which would be great. Yeah.
And he's a fan favorite. And then we have JJ Cummings.
Yeah, JJ. So, you know, again, JJ is one of these guys that at my stage in life, you know, which is like old, and I'm not going to say anything else because there are a few people that are older than I am. Impending death is what comes up in my mind. At my stage in life, when somebody says something in a talk and it makes me reflect, and then not only reflect, but grab it and start using it in my own life. Yeah, I think they just hit a place where it's hard for me to have somebody do that anymore. I mean, I hear a lot of speakers go to a lot of things, and I mean, I'm not really moved by speakers a lot anymore. JJ, I heard at FarmCon, Kevin Van Trump's organization. And by the way, Jordan said he was going to send us a bunch of stuff for Ag Swag that we could set up for him. And I said, you'd be happy to do that.
Yeah, great. Is it all going to be IPSA branded? Because then I will.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It'll probably be a lot of Ag Swag branding, but he's got cool stuff.
We can maybe co-brand it.
Well, maybe we can get him to, you know, send us something for free. JJ, I was at FarmCon, and JJ Cummings is the he was the former captain for the USS Gerald Ford, which is our biggest aircraft carrier out there. And he told some really compelling stories about his life and his time there. And I'm not going to get into it because I don't want to steal any of his thunder. But I grabbed a couple of things that he said and have really embraced them and tried to put them into practice every day. And I think it's working. It's working well for me. So I'm really excited about JJ coming in and being a part of our meeting and being able to talk to us. And plus, you know, look, JJ was a technical advisor on Top Gun Maverick, which, as you know, is my comfort movie. Whenever I can't go to sleep, I watch Top Gun. I can usually make it to, you know, Dark Star. You are cleared at 60,000 feet, and I usually go to sleep. I think that's a super cool movie. He was a technical advisor there, so that's another cool factor for JJ. So excited about that, too.
Yeah, it'll be good.
I think one of the things that, you know, we've got a lot of breakouts coming in. We're covering artificial intelligence by a guy that we think is one of the leading voices from, you know, universities in agriculture and artificial intelligence, which I think is kind of cool. We're going to talk a lot about things that are happening in Washington. There's going to be a lot of stuff happening in Washington, particularly around agriculture. Farm bill didn't get approved this year yet. I find it hard to believe it's going to be, which means we're going to go into next year probably with a Band-Aid over the farm bill. But then we've got a lot of things happening in the climate space, climate smart space, that could come under fire from a new administration or maybe continued. Don't know which. But we're going to be looking at those and looking at ways that seed companies can help their farmers take advantage of some of these areas. Because let's face it, there's not any good news on the farm economy, not right now. And that's disheartening. But, you know, we know that somebody we admire in Dan Bassey, who usually speaks at ASTA, will be speaking at ASTA in Orlando again this year. He also spoke at the Corn States Partnership meeting back in June, and he's a great speaker and somebody I rely on for a lot of Ag Econ Outlook. And son of a gun, everybody I talked to that was at the Corn States Partner meeting said, yeah, there wasn't anything good in that talk. It was kind of depressing about where we are. So being able to look forward, I think, at some of the government opportunities in the climate smart area around, you know, the new sustainable aviation fuel pieces in 45C, I think it's going to be paramount for some of our seed companies to be directly involved to help their farmers, because it's not going to do anything besides positively impact their profitability. Mm-hmm. And I think those are going to be some really important aspects that we have got going on. Of course, we got our friends Katie and Scott from Epiphium that are going to come in and talk to us under a new topic. What is it? Weigh your anchors.
Yeah, time to take your anchors up or something like that. I'd have to look at it again.
Which got to be a great topic when you got, you know, the captain of the USS Gerald Ford coming in to talk, you know. Yeah, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
That's a big boat to pull your anchor up on.
Yeah. And then we have Jeff Butler coming in to talk about how to build a multi-generational workforce.
Yeah, which is, you know, more and more important. That's one of those things that I got to tell you. When we started talking about, you know, the transition into, you know, the new generation, the next generation, and there were a lot of people that came in and brought stuff forward on that, I was just not impressed. I mean, it's like, no, these people need to adjust to us and the way things are. It's really become very apparent that that way of thinking it is not the way that it's going to go forward.
That's not just agriculture. I think that's any industry that you're in. You have kind of that good old boy mentality in a lot of different industries. And you've got these younger people coming in and you have to kind of adapt. And so I'm excited to see what his philosophy is on it.
And me too. And I got to tell you, I came too late on that whole discussion. I really thought that, no, by God, this is the way things are. These young people got to adapt. Well, yeah, they don't. We do. So I guess you don't. I do. That's the problem.
It's a mutual adaption, honestly. You know, I mean, you've clearly tried some things, and whether they work or not, you've tried this one thing and this is how you want to do it. Well, it's the ability to lean into different perspectives, in my opinion.
I think that's right. So it's going to be a cool topic. There's no doubt. I think there'll be a lot of good stuff that comes into it. Yeah. What else?
We've got last year we had our Italian Serrata, which was our sponsor night. So we're doing that same thing. We're all going to be together, in the closing reception. It is going to be a casino night. So there's going to be some gamification there, which will be really fun. Cause the last time we tried a casino night was in St. Louis, right?
2016.
Yeah. 2016.
In a room that was way too full for what I don't know how the fire marshal could run us out of that place, but yeah, 2016. So it's been a long time.
And that was, you know, pre-RTTI. So now I'm very excited to see, with the help of the RTTI team, because they are just amazing. I'm excited to see it come to fruition with that. We also will have dueling pianos at the casino night.
Oh, that's going to be the thing. So Jay and Carl are back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but so my request to them coming back is they don't get to sing Big Bad Todd again this year. You know, I thought Chuck Cornelius was going to bust a gut. He was laughing at me so hard.
Well, you know, we all took a vote, the entire membership and myself. They are going to sing it again.
Oh, come on. You did not take a vote. You're lying. You're lying.
We did not take a vote. But I think it should be, you know, like the closing theme song.
Oh, yeah. No, we'll agree to disagree.
But yeah, so, and then we also have this year, which, you know, past couple of years we've done both nights together. But this year we're doing Dinners on Your Own again. We're, you know, in Palm Springs. They have great cuisine there. So we're going to do Dinners on Your Own and then the presidential hospitality event afterwards.
Did we decide where we're having that? Are we having that in Colin's suite? Does he know that?
I think our last discussion, we were trying to figure out whether it was going to be in his suite or if we were going to have a different place for it, because I figure everyone's going to come.
I'm kind of thinking, let's pile everybody. That we saw that presidential suite. It's really super nice.
It is very nice.
I think that we should give Colin the opportunity to share it with everybody. I think the max number of people in there could be.
That are there. You know,
I think it can handle maybe 100. We'll put 400 in there, and they'll be lining down the halls. And yeah, that'll be really great. I think we definitely need to give him that opportunity.
Well, maybe that's fine.
Hey, maybe we should do it at one place and then invite everybody to the after hours event and have that up there.
Oh yeah, we could do that.
You know, that might be a really fun thing. Colin, I hope you're hearing this, because it's the only way that we're ever going to let you know that what's coming. Otherwise, it's going to be a big surprise. So anyway, that'll be awesome. So we'll have a good time. I think the bottom line is the annual conference is going to be a lot of fun this year. It's going to be, again, out in Indian Wells, so we'll have some really warm weather too. Enjoy while we're out there, but you know, in Greenleaf in front, Inari behind, there's going to be a lot of different things that we're going to be able to look at, and piling three meetings into 1 week is certainly going to be something that we hope is a benefit to all of our members out there, without a doubt. And you know, so that's some exciting stuff. Tell you what, I think you're aware of this. So got a couple of cool things that are happening. Number one, I know you're aware of the next piece is we're about to start a pretty strong membership drive within IPSA. I've had Aaron Conaway that's been heading up a committee for the board looking at opportunities and how to expand our overall membership in the seed companies. So we're about to put some new things out about that. We'll probably have some real discussion points about that in a upcoming podcast here in a couple of 3 weeks. And then here on September the 16th, Laura Wood and I are working with the USDA, and we are hosting a competition meeting at the USDA to discuss the independent seed industry's perspective on regulation with the EPA. So we're going to be at the USDA, and we're going to have representatives from USDA, from the EPA, from FTC and DOJ. We're going to have a lot of people talking about a lot of things there. So that'll be interesting. I guess this is my last opportunity to pick a good fight with the EPA over their biotech framework that I've been against for 4 years. So now, you know, we're going to get a chance to talk with them about that. We're going to get a chance to talk with them about why they need to expand the ABSTC. And I think the thing about it that I am excited about is they're going to have to defend some of their positions in front of people that matter in regulation. So rather than having three people in there that are making decisions all by themselves, they're going to have to defend their decisions in a broader group and explain why they are doing what's right and not doing some other things that would bring more people to the table and open up discussions around biotech traits to the industry, and which I think is certainly important. So kind of excited about that. And yeah, thanks to Laura Wood for being able to put all that together. I've already been made fun of by one person that knew that this was coming on and was like, okay, so what is this? It's another chance for Todd to stir the crap. And I said, yeah, it's probably job justification for Laura. She puts a meeting together with all these people. I get to go in and stir all the crap and, you know, get everybody riled up. And then she is secure in her position working with IPSA for another 6 months as she tries to calm everything down.
Yeah.
You can't say that Laura doesn't know her constituency and know how to prepare things well. So that'll be really exciting. But I think everybody understands that competition is something that is always at the forefront of what IPSA does. And as we look forward, you know, it is about, you know, new opportunities in genetics, new opportunities in traits. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, fairness in the marketplace. But also it is about some of the government agencies and the way that they do things and how they don't think about how things are going forward. I will say one more thing. One of the niceties about this meeting is that as the what's called the Chevron Doctrine got struck down by the Supreme Court, which, you know, gives the government agencies a lot of leeway to make rules, or gave government agencies a lot of leeways to make rules in concert after Congress passed laws. EPA is one that is going to have a lot of ground to try and make up, because it puts all of the policies that the EPA establishes based on law kind of up in the air that can now be challenged legally. So I think we've got a lot of interesting things that are going to be coming out of Washington, and we just need to make sure that people understand what our position is.
Yeah.
So anyway, I got a really important question for you.
What?
What are you watching on TV these days?
Well, you know, I don't watch a ton of TV. I just read mainly.
Yeah.
I have been honestly kind of nerding out. Okay, so answer to TV is movies, specifically a series of 8 movies that I love so much.
Oh my God, it's Harry Potter.
I know. Okay, well, here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing.
Don't ever talk to me about watching Top Gun Maverick 50,000 times.
I've never said anything negative about it. You have a comfort movie. I appreciate that. But, you know, I have so many books and I have all these bookshelves. So I have gotten into making book nooks. Do you know what those are?
No.
Okay. So it's like, it sits on a bookshelf. It's like a section of the bookshelf, but it's like inverted. It sounds weird. Okay. But it looks like a little alleyway. Like you make it out of little wood pieces. I'm showing my nerdiness. So the other night, all of the kids are here and, you know, James is here and whatnot. And so I'm like, made dinner, put dinner up. And I'm like, does anybody need me? And they're all like, no. And I'm like, cool. I'm going to go make my book nook. And I have Harry Potter on my iPad mini in front of me on a very low volume. I have a glass of wine and I'm making my book nook. And like, you have to wire it and everything. It's got a light.
So you have a go place that you sit and it has a light, or is this a display?
It's a display. I mean, I can go get one and show you if you want me to.
No, that's okay. We'll put it on a future podcast so everybody can see it on YouTube.
Yeah. But
okay. Well,
so that's what I don't watch TV. I just watch that.
Okay. Well, you know, I was at the White River and I was watching the river, you know, smoking a cigar and drinking some 18-year-old scotch. And that was, you know, kind of a good thing. I turned off everything, you know, just listened to crickets and watched the river go by.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the same, but different.
Yeah.
The reason I asked about TV, you get TV shows that I think I got to watch off the strangest places. So I'm reading The Economist this morning.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, The Economist. And what do I see? A Mormon scandal on television, which starts on Disney's Hulu. This is what I like. It's on, yeah, Hulu, that is owned by Disney. And let's face it, anybody that's been paying attention to Disney, Disney's buying everything these days. You know, Disney owns ESPN. And of course, if you have DirecTV, you know Disney owns ESPN, because Disney and DirecTV are in a fight over ESPN. So right now, if you want to watch college football, you ain't doing it on ESPN on DirecTV, because it's all off. But this is the thing. So Hulu is about to put out a television show about a group of swinging Mormon housewives.
Yeah. So a couple of them.
The secret lives of Mormon wives.
A couple of them started on TikTok. And I remember, because I've seen the ad for what you have or what you're looking at. I saw it on actually my Alexa thingamajig. And so I recognized the girl because months and months and months ago, of course, I'm doom scrolling and I come across her on TikTok and she said something about Mormon wives. And I was like, that's no Mormon I've ever seen before, you know? So I was really confused. So now it's come full circle is what I'm saying. It makes total sense.
I just think it's hilarious. I mean, come on, really? The secret lives of Mormon wives. I mean, yeah. What the heck? It makes me miss Jerry Springer and Maury Povich. You know, there was a time when I was driving in the field and, you know, would pull into, when I was back working with Syngenta and working in the field, driving to a field, and you'd pull into Agri Taylor and you'd walk in, and in the afternoons, I kid you not, there was always a TV on, and it was either on Jerry Springer or Maury Povich. Mm-hmm. And there were some farmers in there watching it laughing.
And you are not the dad.
It's like, come on, this is the lowest form of anything. Yeah. Why are we watching this? And yet The Economist, which is, of course, you know, a British publication, is well regarded for being very well written on global news. And what is it they got? The secret lives of Mormon wives. I can't even say it the same way. That's what I got to watch on TV, according to The Economist. I don't know what
the thing is like, who cares? Who cares?
It's not that. It's like somebody's going to, you know, pick up a chair on the Jerry Springer show and throw it at somebody, and you're going to have that kind of stuff. It's just gripping human stupidity. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it's just, gosh.
As you've heard me say, you can't make this up. Mm-mm. So there you go. Okay, well, I guess we've had fun. We've talked about the annual conference. We've talked a little bit about membership. We've talked a little bit about, you know, what's going on with our DC initiative right now. And then, of course, now you have a new show that you can put in the queue to watch on Hulu if you have Hulu for streaming. And you really, I would suggest drinking heavily while you watch this one. Anyway, that's all I have today. So what's next?
Well, we got some guests coming up on the next couple of podcasts. So stay tuned and make sure to, you know, like and rate and subscribe and share the podcast. So that way everyone else can be in the know as well.
Yes, that's exactly right. And just for foreshadowing purposes, we have Sean Brook that is coming soon. And also very excited, Ben Green with Purple Ribbon Seed is going to be on our very next podcast. Yep. We're going to talk about Ben and his non-traditional approach to seed and his background. And I got to tell you, it's going to be exciting and fun. And I'm going to encourage everybody to listen because Ben has got a really great take and certainly has done some things in a non-traditional way that I think are very valuable and innovative. Yep. So anyway, that'll be fun.
That's all we got.
Okay. Well, everyone, thanks. And we'll see you next time.